So, we're going back to the Great Exchange, part three. We cover some good ground. But let's go back to, if you don't mind, let's go back to the Psalms 37 just for a moment. Let's cover the next step of that, and then let's move forward with the message. So Psalms 37, please. If you're ready to receive a word today, say, I am.
I am.
Say, I really am.
I really am.
Amen. I'm going to give you one in the name of Jesus. And let's go to the next steps of this thing. Let me know when you're there.
Amen.
Anybody still searching? Everybody's there? All right. 37, baby. Starting at verse 1. We're going to start right at verse 1. We're going to recap a little bit of that, and we're going to move forward. Here we go. I'm reading out the Amplified. It says, do not worry because of evildoers, nor be envious toward wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. Trust, rely on, have confidence in the Lord, and do good. Dwell in the land and feed securely on his faithfulness. That's where we stopped last week. So I'm going to go over that quickly, but then I want to include the next verse, which is, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires and petitions of your heart. And that's where we're going to go up to today. So let's start from the beginning, quickly. Do not worry because of evildoers. And we talked about how what we want to class as evildoers are those who commit murder and pedophiles and all this. But we show through the word that they're evildoers, us at times. When we defy the word of the Lord, or we go, lying is considered being an evildoer. Stealing, cheating, there's a bunch of little things that we do. It's really interesting, because if you look at when the Bible starts breaking down the gossip, how they sow morsels that permeate or get into the innermost parts of your spirit, that's describing a person that's doing something evil. We all gossip a little bit. Yeah, everybody just looking, no, I don't gossip. Yeah, we all gossip a little bit. No, you got to understand this. Don't try to look away. I mean, I come sit in your lap. According to the Bible, gossip is delicious. It says it's a choice morsel. That means something that you choose that gets into the innermost parts of a man. It's good. Guess what I heard? You're like, what? eyes, ears, everything, nose. What? Did you hear about so-and-so? What? What they do? And church people found a good way to gossip. We need to pray for so-and-so. What happened? It's true, right? Church gossip, church know how to spiritualize everything. If I wasn't a Christian, I'd cuss you. You just did. You just did. You just might as well go on and say, Jesus said, if you hate your brother, you murdered your son, just go ahead and just let it rip. Because if you say, if I was a Christian, I'd kick him. Okay, well, you just did. Jesus said, if you look at the woman with lust, you've committed it. You think that don't apply to everything else? Ooh, it's quiet. I like quiet. That means you're hearing it. So, there's evil beyond what we want to accept as evil. But there's a solution for evil, and that's Christ the Savior. By his grace, you are saved. Yes. Now, what we realize from reading through this is that he said they'll fade away like the green herb. And we said, but the scripture says that about everybody, including us. We all fade away like the green herb. So the point of the message was not don't get concerned or be envious of evildoers because God's going to get them. That wasn't the point. The point of the message is, don't be concerned about them because life's too short. It passes too quickly. Don't get caught up in that. There's other things that you could be focused on about what God's doing in your life and the great things God wants to do with you than to be focusing on evildoers and the stuff that they're doing wrong. I'm not saying you need to hang with them. I'm not saying you need to like it. But I'm saying you definitely don't need to let it consume your life where it immobilizes you for decades and decades and you can't go forward past the wrong that somebody else did. So whenever I get to that point, it gets a little more solemn. But it's the truth, though, right? You ever been in bondage because of something somebody said? I don't want to go into details because it's kind of private, even though the person's not here and he doesn't know. But so I shared it with Ron, and Ron was like, "Wow, that's kind of sad." Whatever they were going through in their life, in 2011, I sent somebody a music video. I had no way of knowing what they were going through in their life. But at whatever it was, that video hit them where they were at the moment, is something that they were dealing with either spiritually, emotionally, legally, I don't know. And in their mind, they contrived that I knew what they were going through and specifically send them this video to hurt them. So from 2011 to now, they assumed that I knew information because they spoke to somebody who knows me, who, by the way, I hadn't spoken to in close to 15 years. But they assumed that, yeah, like last time I spoke to him in like 1998. I sent him this video in 2011. Do the math. But he spoke to him, I don't know when. I don't even know the details. He assumed that he spoke to me and told me his situation. And in 2011, I sent him this video that mortified him. He ended his vacation in Alaska and he came home and his wife was so distraught. And so from 2011 to 2018, come on. He's walked around with this thing festering in his heart and his spirit and his mind, probably against me and this other person. He don't know anything about anything because he probably didn't even see the video. And if he did see it, he probably just laughed, you know. But this person was, I'm sitting here going, when he finally told me what it was about, I said to him, wait a minute. So are you saying to me that you've had animosity toward me and hatred in your heart from 2011 to now over something that never happened? I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you went through. I haven't even spoken to this dude in over 12 years. Dude. Wow. And it made me feel sad after what I had just preached last week. This very message, and I find this out this week. You've literally lived in a self-imposed prison of hurt that I caused you that you made up because I never did it or knew anything about it. Now, see, I know I wanted to get that reaction because now it's one or two things you're going to do, right? Well, Dad, I got to watch everything I say because I don't want to. Then how are you going to live? Have you ever done something or found you did something to hurt somebody all of a sudden and made you start questioning your whole humanity? Who you are? Maybe I didn't. Did I say something? I don't remember saying. Because when he told me I did something, I'm trying to figure, what is he? You sent me that video. It was the email before, and I was like, I'm going, what video? Well, such and such a told you about my son. I'm like, so my mind is going way back to like 20 years ago, like, okay, last time we speak, did he send me something? Did I send him a video? Maybe I did send him a video. I don't remember sending a video. It's possible. Yeah. Now I'm questioning my own memory and everything about who, just people bear witness, right? I'm questioning my own sanity. I'm like, I think I got a good memory, but I don't remember any of this. So I finally said, please tell me what the heck you're talking about. Because I don't know what you're talking about. And then he sends me this definition. I'm like, you are freaking bugging. I don't care enough about your situation. I don't mean that in a mean way. Like, Do you really think that your life meant so much to me that I needed to find out something to take the time to make a video to send it to you? Like, I haven't seen you in like 20-something years. Like, I don't even think about you. But he's thinking about me in this bad way for this many years. What is my point? Simply this. Even if I had done this evil, if I was an evildoer and I had done what he perceived I did, that's 20-something years of his life he can't get back. You just wasted at least 10 years. It was 2011 to 9, 8 years, whatever, 6, I don't care how many years. You just wasted years hurting over something that's not even real. And even if it was real, listen to me. Why should you let it have you like that? Even if they meant to hurt you, so what? Why should you let it affect you? I'm speaking to somebody. Why should it have that power? My daddy didn't love me. He probably didn't love himself, so? You going to carry that for the rest of your life? My sister and I never got along. Okay, neither did me and mine. I get along with this sister. Everybody else is okay. Can't love everybody, can't get along with everybody. It's life. I'm not going to walk around with this venom in my soul. Every time I hear their name, I go through conniptions and start having seizures. Somebody going to hear me and get free today. We give too much value to evil. We give too much value to wrongdoing. We give too much. The scripture you read today perfectly fits the message, Mike. Focus on, concentrate on whatsoever things are good. It's so funny you mentioned Joel Osteen. Every time somebody says about Joel Osteen being happy, I'm like, he has an unfair advantage. He was born with all them teeth. He can't help but smile. He got a smile. He ain't got no choice. He's got teeth. You was born with a smile. Just being funny. I like Joel Osteen a lot. My point is this. For some of us, it's natural to be creative. For some of us, it's natural for us to be articulate, clean, neat, structured. For some of us, it's work. You got to fuck. I'm a neat, organized, beyond borderline obsessive compulsive. Yeah, it's just borderline. I know it. I accept it. I know. It's just I have to stop myself from being so particular. Well, my wife, she's kind of let it fly. Whatever. Just throw it, sit it right there. That don't belong there, though. I'm going to move it. When? So over the years, I've learned just look straight ahead. Don't look over there. You know that's where she throws everything. Just don't torture yourself. And don't look over there. Just look that way. Now, when she starts bringing stuff to my side, I'm like, oh, whoa, 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 whoa. You can keep your nightstand however you want. This is the clean nightstand. I don't even like my wires when I'm plugging in all my equipment twisting around each other. I like them to lay neat, and I put twist ties around them. See, I know this is me, though. I don't like that. It's like, ooh, the electric wires are touching the audio wires. That's not good. It's not a good thing. Now, you'll laugh at me if you want, but truthfully, it's not a good thing. That's why you get hums in some of your sounds and equipment, because electric wires are not supposed to lay across audio wires unless they're very well shielded. But I digress. My point is, but it's true, right? It's true. You see, your audio, so you know. It's true. So just in case you know, and your stuff. Check and see if your audio wires are wrapped around your electronic wires, and that'll fix your problem, and you have to pay somebody to come out to your house $100 just to untwist your wires. There you have it. Amen. That was free. Give God glory. Hallelujah. Now, with that said, there are people who naturally for them, because of the way they were raised, sometimes I think it's chemical, that they just have a tendency to see the wrong in or the worry, or as they say, the different personality types, melancholy type personality. I don't know all of them, sanguine, melancholy, it's all the different things. Right, you see, you here sitting there, name them, you know, because you do a counseling, so you're school counseling, you don't know, right? My thing is this, but no matter what, whether it's normal or not normal for you to be a certain way, you have the ability and the choice to learn different and create new habits and live out of those new habits. You can. You can expect evil, you can expect good. You can teach yourself that. Now, don't spend your life focusing on any longer. I can't stress this strong enough that if that's been your nature to carry the weight of the world on your shoulder and worry about stuff, this is not a put down. This message not say, so that's what's wrong with you. You know what's wrong with you? You need to focus on Jesus. You need to take your eye off the enemy. No, that's not what this is about. This is saying, see the difference and choose what you want and then focus based on that. Decide what you want to draw to you by what you choose to focus on. It ain't easy. I didn't say it was easy. I just said you need to learn how to do it. It wasn't easy to read before you learned. It wasn't even easy to talk before you were taught. Come on now. Don't get quiet on me. We can choose what we focus on. Say that.
We can choose what we focus on.
Make it personal. Now say, I will choose.
I will choose.
This is key. It's important. You hurt me, it's real. Is the pain real? Yes, it is. Do I choose to focus on it? Absolutely not. Why? Because there are better things in your life to focus on. That's a lot of years for this brother, and it hurts me to think about it, to be in bondage about something that never happened. It's a lot of pain. That's a lot of unrest. When he first emailed me, he said, what I did to him was hatred. And I'm reading this email going, what? Why did I do that was so hateful? I don't do hateful things to anyone. Even if I don't really like you at all, I can't think of many people I hate. But I can think of maybe one or two. But... No, I don't. No, I'm just joking. But I can think of people I totally prefer not to have any relation with. And I say, that's why I say I'm joking. I don't hate anybody. I really don't. Because hate requires me to have something for you and keep it that I don't need to have. To hate you, I have to carry a package for you for the rest of my life. And I choose not to do that. I heard Maya Angelou say this, and I thought it was the most brilliant thing I ever heard. She said, hate is like you feeding on cancer and expecting somebody else to die. You feeding on cancer and expecting them to die. So I refuse to allow you, can somebody think about where this is helpful right now? I refuse to allow you and your behavior and who you are to affect my life. I didn't want to stay on this long, but God won't let me leave it. So let me just make this point. Can I stay here a little longer? We have personality traits. Everybody in this room, you know, you understand how deep that is, right? This is what makes you you, your personality traits. You say, well, this is just me. This is how I am. This is how I am. That was built and fostered by something that somebody did wrong to you. I need to explain that? There are ways that you behave. There are beliefs that you hold. There are reactions that you have to everyone that's based on something that somebody or something did somewhere to hurt you that you carry to this day and you say, that's just who I am, and it's really not. It's you living with the disease that somebody else put on you. You get defensive and you'll snap at somebody for saying something, and you say, that's just me, and I'm saying it's not you. It's what you've experienced, and you're living out of that experience. Yeah, this is one of them think about it moments. So I say something to you, you get defensive and ready to do battle with me, and I don't have any idea, nor did I have anything to do with that. But somebody did. And you saying you defensive, I'm protective, I don't just get close to people like that, I don't really trust people like that. Okay, but you're not saying that's who you are, because as a baby, that's not who you are. Somebody did something to you, and that formed your personality. And you're living out of that person's disease for the rest of your life. Unable to have relationships, men unable to commit, women unable to trust, women just taking any dog that comes in their door, all of this stuff because of somebody else's experiences. That we didn't get free from. So I realized I had a distrust or dislike or response to things because of things that I had experienced in my past. And I had to come to realize that you're going to make the rest of the world, for as long as you live, pay for what that person did. Ooh, it got still. And everybody's thinking about something, right? There's things you do that you say, I don't know why I do that. I hate when I do that. But you never let God help you investigate why you do it. You just keep saying how you hate it. You react this way, you lose it, you go off, you say these things, and then you feel bad and you feel like crap for saying it. And the devil makes sure you do. You do. He'll come right in your face, and you call yourself a Christian. Right? He get right, he's the accuser of the brother. That's what he do. He'll come right to you as soon as you do it. You said you wasn't going to do that anymore. Look at you. I'm going to ask you to raise your hands. I can see it all in your faces. But at some point you go before God and say, God, the root of this thing needs to die. Where did this come from? Why am I responding like this? I don't want to do it like that anymore. I don't want to be needy anymore. I don't want to be high maintenance anymore. And there's a reason that I am, and I don't want it. And the church folks said,
amen.
Okay. Just want to make sure. I'm going to move on to something else. I know this just got a little thick, got a little heavy there, the room. I could feel the caramel flowing down the room. We're going to lighten it up now. We're going to move on. Maybe not. We'll see. We're going to move past this part at least. Mike said, I needed a sip and everything. Just you ain't even singing. You needed a sip. Did it help somebody?
Yes.
Amen. We're stronger than this stuff. Somebody say, yes, we are. We're stronger than this. And anything that, amen, and anything that the devil uses to hold us bondage, we need to put it to death. What we're doing right now is we're breaking all the shackles. We already filled with the Holy Ghost helium to float. But the shackles is what's keeping us down. The shackles is what's keeping us from becoming everything God has spoke and prophesied over us. It's our own. You know, if somebody had told you all life, you always fail. You always messing up things. Why are you always messing up things? Well-meaning parents sometimes. And they feed this stuff into you. So now you expect to mess up everything you do, no matter what you do. Just can't get away from it. We're not, listen, we can say what our lives has become may have been partly responsible for stuff they did, but what I say to people all the time, I'm like this because my father was this or my mother was like this, and I'm like, okay, but if you can identify it, then you shouldn't still be it. That's like saying, you know, I know why my head hurts. Why? Because from a kid, I always hit myself in the head with a hammer. So you know that, yeah. So then you're going to put down the hammer then, right? Well, I've been hitting myself with a hammer for so long. You know, Pastor, it's just kind of hard. Give me the hammer. I can fix that. Yeah, I know. I know what you're saying. And I know you're right. Just pray for me. In no sense praying for you now. You already know. Pray for you to what? To be obedient to what you already figured out to be true? I said I was going to let it go. I did. I said that. But watch this. Because then you dwell in the land. Come on now. Verse 3. Trust in the Lord and have confidence in the Lord and do good. Right? Don't worry about all that. All that stuff I just covered for the past 15 minutes, right? He said, let all that go. Trust and rely on and be confident in the Lord and do good. Other words, don't do what they do. Don't do back to people the thing that you hated that was done to you. Didn't get an amen or nothing, but I'll keep going. I'll act like I did. In my spirit. I got to get an amen sampler up here that I could just put an amen and just hit the sample when it's appropriate. That's why we're going to work on that. All right, so do good. Don't worry about them. You do good. Don't do what they do. You do good. And dwell in the land and feed securely on his faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord. See, now we're back to this word, delight. Somebody want to break down delight? That's not just liking something a little bit. Now, I could go into the Hebrew on it and do all of that, but let's just get some thoughts around the room, what it is to delight in something. And you can cheat and look up a definition if you want to, but I'm asking, by show of hands, delight. When you delight in something, what is that? Now, show of hands, I didn't say yelling out. Enjoy, okay. Excitement, so enjoy and excitement. Just enjoying something is not really delighting. I enjoy it. Delight is it's another level, right? Take pleasure in, okay. Huh? You love it, right? You do. Yes. It's precious to you. Come on. Anybody else? Any more take? I want to get one. Be happy with. Okay. Okay. Anybody else? We good? What you find, Mike?
I'm trying to get my strong.
Okay. You get that together. So we understand that he's not saying just enjoy the Lord or like the Lord or love the Lord, but something precious, something that you prize, you excited to do, right? Listen to me and listen to me close. Delight yourself in the Lord. Listen to me. And he will give you the desires of your heart. So now, if we can determine, let me know when you got there, Mike. I usually pull it up, but I know Mike got, it's not working on you? Okay, I'll come back to it myself then. But we do understand that delight is more than like, right? We do understand that if something you delighting is something that you're giving a little more attention to, it's something that you even just favor. You favor it, but you enjoy doing it. The word is saying delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And this is why this is important. You listening? You listening? You listening? It don't say pray to the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Church misnomer. See, these are the kind of things that church folk don't teach a lot. It don't say like the Lord. It don't say go to church and he'll give you the pray a lot and he'll give you the desires of heart. Cry and get real emotional when you pray and he'll give you the. He said, just delight yourself in my company. Just be around me and be with me and really like you really want to do that and be there. See, church folk get messed up. You just pray, but I'm gonna pray for you. Okay. Yeah, but if you don't delight yourself in the Lord, then what are you doing? God is saying, can you just really enjoy me? I give you anything you want if you can just enjoy me. I know that goes against regular church teaching, but it's right there in the Bible. Delight yourself in the Lord. Well, I got this problem and I got this issue and I got these concerns. Okay, so what are you delighting yourself in? Your issues or the Lord? Because the thing you delight in, you talk about. You got a baby? You delight in that baby? You talking about me and my baby take pictures of stuff? Oh, that thing's so cute. Oh, look, they frowned. Oh, they smiled. Oh, look, they just stood up. Oh, they just sat down. Right? Every moment. Penny, you know. You guys, right? this first baby, you know, it's like everything they do is just like just precious. People are like, oh God, would she stop with the pictures, right? But right? But everything they do is precious. Oh my goodness, it's beautiful. She went to karate class. She kicked higher than the other kids. No, she kicked about the same high. No, her foot went higher. Everything is just, oh my God. And then they become teenagers. And then you have to learn to delight, right? But, right? But the point is, God is saying, just stop coming to me with all the time with all your problems and all your issues and all your concerns and telling me what to do and telling me how to fix it and telling me if I just had this, I'd be all right. God said, just delight yourself in me. And I'll give you the desires of your heart. Now, this is where it gets real. When I read that verse years ago, I set out to delight myself in the Lord. I didn't really know how, but I feel like I give it a shot. So I begin to do what church told me is delighting in the Lord. What are some of those things? See, you're sitting here to listen to me preach, and I love to preach, and I love to teach, but I can't teach you like any good teacher without first doing an assessment test to find out where you are. So when I ask the questions, because I want you to think, not just say, oh, that was a good message, Pastor. Woo, he preached the Spirit up in this place. No, let's have a real talk. If I said to you today, delight yourself in the Lord, what would be the steps you take? Yes, big sis. Huh?
Read the word.
Okay. So who said pray? Pray. Go ahead. Uh-huh. Speaking in prayer language. Okay. Praying in the Spirit. Okay. See how shallow they are? No disrespect. Yes, sis. Sound. All these are good things. But you, go ahead, sis. Oh, come on now. That's good stuff. Yeah. Uh-huh. Go ahead, bud. Ask God to remove unholy. I like that. Ask God to remove unholy desires. Speak to God when things are going good or bad, right? He said, even good times, still talk to God. Don't wait till things go wrong before you talk to God. Anything else? Anybody in the front? No? We good? Now, did you learn something from each hearing the other person's point of view? Because you had your one. Now you got more. Now you bring this all together. But here's what God showed me in the process. He said, delight yourself in me. It's just be satisfied in me and don't get caught up in a bunch of stuff. None of what you said is wrong. But the bottom line is, if you're not careful with that, that becomes works. How many things can you stop doing? I ask church folk this all the time. I just got to learn, you know, just to be more obedient. Right? And I say, and when do you arrive? I always ask that question. I need to pray more. When is enough? I need to fast. How often? If it's the instruction of God, when do you get there? See, I make you think about stuff. Because that's what works will do. It becomes about what you do. Are you listening to me? Because what I'm about to say is going to make the hair on your head stand. It starts to become about what you do instead of what God does. So you wind up trying to pray more. Fast more. Do this more. Do that more. Let me submit this to you. Anything you do apart from the leading of God is fine, but I discovered God responds better to the stuff we do that he tells us to do. See, the scripture said obedience is better than sacrifice. I don't club anymore. I don't do this anymore. I don't do this anymore. Okay, you just told me all the stuff you don't do. But what is the thing that God is telling you to do? That one thing that will trump anything else. See, remember when they asked Jesus, what's the most important commandments? What did he say? Number one was what? Love the Lord, right? With your heart, your soul, your mind, everything in you, right? And what was the next thing? But we don't hear that. That ain't a church message. That ain't popular. Sow a seed, believe that you received, and you shall have it. And that's it. Well, what about the neighbor I hate? Would that possibly be getting in the way of that seed you sow coming to pass? Am I telling the truth? He said, and you know, for if you don't forgive your neighbor, neither God will forgive your sins. Well, that's a problem right there. That's a deal breaker. But that's not push, that's the issue. I brought up in the message last week, God asking me about how I love him. And I said, I pray. And he said, why do you love me? And I started explaining how or why I love God and how. And he said, everything you name is what I do for you. You remember that in last week's message, right? Yeah. Everything you name, you bless me, you take care of me, you're good to me, you're always there. And God said, that's how I love you. How do you love me? And I got stuck. And I told you, I said, I'm stuck. I praise you. God said, that's for you. You know, you've even, you're the church, and you have even twisted that. When the praises go up, the blessings come down. So all of a sudden, it's still about God doing something for me. When I pray to God, what do I call prayer? Sis said, we pray. Well, what, you know, I talk to people all the time. What is prayer? And we find out a lot of what we call is prayer is not prayer. It's supplication. It's asking God for stuff and telling God what you want. Petition is petition, supplication, and prayer. Prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. Scripture said that. When you pray, make your request known to prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. So we broke down the three of them before, right? Supplication is you going to God and you telling God what's on your heart. Thanks, and petition is you asking, but prayer is you praying his word back to him. You speaking his word to him. Why is that important? You're listening? Because when you pray God's word, God moves. Oh, here we go again. And now we're still finding a way to make it work for me. Well, that's not necessarily bad, but that's not the focus. So here's what I want to submit to you today. The focus is this. If I pray his word, I pray his word in honor to him, let his word do what it does. I'll explain it. Why take thought for your life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink? For your heavenly Father knows you have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. I just want to know God. That's where I am in this point of my life. Better. So if I delight in him, I just want to my hunger to be toward being in your presence. You change the desires of my heart. Listen to me. Not give you what your flesh desires. It says he will give you the desires of your heart. Balance here. Because when I heard that the first time, if I just delight in the Lord, he'll give me whatever I want. It didn't say that. It said he'll give you the desires of your heart. Or a different way to phrase that, he'll give you the desires that your heart should have. So let me tell you how God answered my question for last week. How many of you want to know? I said, God, how do I love you? I said, I shared it with the church. You gave me the question. I'm still pondering this thing. How do I love you? And I was talking to Pastor Fontaine. I was talking to your son. And sharing with him what the revelation God gave me, so he got it first. God said, you ready? You ready? Look right at me. If you really want to hear this, just wave a hand at me. God said, the best way to love me is allowing me to love you. Get your hands out the mix. Keep your 2 cents out the game. You love me by allowing me to love you. Study that out in the scripture to prove itself again and again. Seek ye first the kingdom. No, just seek to be with me apart from all of this stuff. and allow me to be God in your life. Why is that important? Because he said, you see, you know, his kindness leads you to repentance. His kindness does. Not the shame and the guilt. The scripture said his kindness leads you to repentance. So if you allow him to be kind, his love will overwhelm you and change you. I know that goes against what you've heard all your church life. So let's go to the next verse and let's bring this home. Let's see if what I'm teaching lines up with what I got right here. Ready? Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires and petitions of your heart. He'll give you the things to pray. He'll give you the desires. Let me just say this before I read the rest of this. Have you ever believed God and prayed and cried and badgered and frustrated until you got it? And then when you got it, he was like, this is it? Right? Have you ever prayed for something, got it, and wish you never prayed for it? Or somebody? Well, you know. So if you trust me, I'll give you who and what you should pray for. I'll give you the desires and petitions. I'll aim those things so that when you pray, they line up with. I know what you need. I made you. I know all the desires in you. I'll make them clear to you. The dreams and visions that people have spoken over you for 50 years that don't seem to be coming to pass, no matter how hard you pursue them. God said, trust in me. I'll put the desires right. So you go do this thing and that thing. Well, maybe the Lord was trying to show me. Well, maybe the Lord. And then your whole life becomes, well, maybe the Lord. So Lord becomes a maybe. When Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. Well, maybe the Lord was trying to show me. So the Lord got to work with you through riddles. He can't speak directly to you and tell you what he wants you to do. That ain't him. That's you. So watch this. Delight yourself again in the Lord. Say, I delight in the Lord. He gives me the desires and the petitions for my heart. Now watch this. Next verse. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him also. And what? And who will do it? And who will do it? Now it gets real. Like I told you, this is the place I'm in my life right now. So I've learned to submit myself to the Lord, and I've learned to trust in the Lord, and the Lord has really opened up my desires and shown me. Now, most of you can say, I don't know what my desires. God probably has somebody prophesied over you 50,000 times already in your life. You just accepted that you couldn't do it, and you gave up. Any takers? You know God has called you to things, and you're like, I'm trying to do it, just, ha! Huh. So that's why I took this job working at the daycare. Right? I love my job. I love helping people. And you see people do. And I love helping people. And you look at them like, you don't want to really do this. You really don't. I mean, it's a good job and you got good benefits and all that, but just ain't what you want to do. Nobody? You'll do it and you're gonna do it to the glory of God, but you would rather be doing something else, right? Okay, so let's see if we can bring this home. You ready? You have the desire. He gave it to you. Either you trusted him, you got it, or he just spoke it over you. Either way, you know it. But it seems elusive. You keep reaching for it, it keeps moving away. Right? Commit it to him. And he will do it. See, we got messed up. He said, God has given me the desire of my heart, and I will do it. Did you miss that? How many of you have dreams on you that you know God gave to you? How many of you trying to do it all your heart? But this verse right there just said he'll do it. So once he gives it to you, it's yours. You can do it yourself. It's not sin. But some of us are figuring out as we get older, it's a lot harder. So I'm at that place now. I'm just like, here. I don't know what to do with this. And this is why I'm in this season of my life on this word consistently. God, I know what my vision is. I've tried to do 50 other jobs. I've done other things and been successful, but my heart keeps crying back to go here. What am I doing wrong? And he leads me here. I've given you the desire. I've given you the petition. But then you took it. Give it back to me. Listen, if I gave it to you, I'll bring it to pass. You know, some of you are still not getting it. So let me simplify it. I know when I give you a really earthly simplified version, you'll get it better, which is what Jesus did. It's called parables. Kids, anybody got kids? Anybody just love kids and like doing nice things for kids? Okay. Rachel, like neither one. Rachel, I just look like you better come up with a better example. I think you still get it. I think you get it. Okay. You say to a kid, on your birthday, I'm going to give you this. And that kid gets so excited. Yay! And then they run off and act like you're going to get it. They're telling everybody. They ain't ask you, can I see your bank account? I don't know if you got money. How I know you're going to have a job when my birthday come? You know kids don't do that? You notice that? They don't ask all those questions. Wait, you ain't even paying your rent. How you going to buy me stuff? They just take it. And they'll go with it. Teenagers, I'm going to give you this for your birthday. I'm going to give you a car. Really? They got questions. They got questions. They know, they heard you talk about your finances. You going to give me your car or you going to give me like my own car? Now, they start looking at cars. They start picking cars. They start telling you, okay, I don't know what your price range is. What's your price range? Because I looked at a couple of cars that I like. Come on. Yeah. And they start laying it out for you. And you're like, I said I was getting like, would you? Are you buying it? Are you buying it? All right. Am I buying it? All right then, don't bother me. I'll buy it when I buy it what I want to buy. You paying for something? Yeah, but I don't really like. But I just want you to know that I just don't like yellow, and I don't want no. I want a coupe. I don't want a four door. And you're like, okay, you know what? Now I don't want to buy you nothing. Cause you all in my business. You all handling it. I said I was going to do it, and you getting it now? And now you got your 2 cents all in it. Now you messing up the joy of the whole process. I said I would do it, but here you are doing it all. And now every year from 15 to 18, I said on your 18th birthday, I got to hear every few months about what car you like, and it done changed 20 times. If he said commit it to me and I'll do it, why are you messing with it? But that's how we do God. We don't do him like the little children. We do it like the teenagers. I got a bunch of questions. I done changed the upholstery 3 times. You said you'll do it. You said my gift will bring me before kings. Then why am I trying to get before kings in my own power? Oh, I know somebody who knows somebody. I think that person could hook me up with this person. They know this person. How does it become your project? Some of you haven't even got to a place where you trusted the Lord yet enough for him to give you the desires. But if you are there, I'm speaking to myself. Just so you know, not picking on nobody. This is what God's been showing me. Then commit it to me. Watch it. And leave it. Because I realize I go get it back. I do commit it. But then I go back for it. I'm going to see how it's doing. How's it doing? Is it almost done? We there yet? How close are we to to the manifestation of things. Come on, Lord. I mean, I'm not telling you what to do. Just making sure you're doing it. You remember, right? Okay. No, I'm good. And then I turn on the TV and see somebody else doing it. And then it's like, I'm much more talented than that person is. God, I trust you. See, the tone changes, right? Lord, you know, I trust you, Lord. All in your timing. Hallelujah. Could you please hurry up? You're really taking a long time. Right? And all of a sudden, what God committed to do, I've taken control of. I'm speaking about me. None of y'all have this problem. This is something your pastor goes through, and I can understand if you lose all respect for me. I'm just I'm just telling you, these are things that I'm honestly pouring my heart out, admitting before you. I have this problem of trying to even control freak God. Forgive me. But I even try to take over God's business and do it for him. And try to tell him how to do it. I have a tendency to, please pray for me. You understand what I'm saying? I'm just trying to lighten the room because you look so serious right now. This process is more important than how you be a good Christian. How you stop doing this and do more of that and fast a little more and pray a little more and do this a little more. Surrender to God. Not in that church old way of saying, God, you ready? Here's surrender. I don't even know how to do what I know I'm supposed to do. But I know you work in me, Philippians 2:13, both to will and to do your good pleasure. So I'm just going to lay myself right here and just relax and be comfortable in what you're doing. And Lord, if I get a little too busy, a little too anxious, just poke me and bring me back. But in this season of my life, you listen to me, I just want to be quiet. And I'm not good at being quiet. Takers? I'm just not good at being quiet. I'm not good at being quiet. I can't pray with a lot of people. Some of you are going to laugh when I say this. I can't pray with, especially people who've been in church. I'd rather pray with people who've never been in church. I don't like praying with church people because they pray too noisy. There's just too much noise. Oh, Father God. And is it Father God? Yes, Lord. And Father, and I just want to thank you. And Father, I just thank you for the blessing of this. And Father, I just thank you to open the doors to this. And Father, I thank you for the name. And it's like, okay, you're going to give God a chance to speak to any of this stuff? You're just going to ramble on and on and on and on. And pause. Do you ever get in a prayer circle when everybody's praying? And half hour go by, and there's so much prayer, you just blank out, like, I ain't even listening no more. I'm supposed to be in agreement, I know I am, but I'm not listening to nobody no more, because everybody's trying to top each other. Yes, and the children of Ethiopia, God, you don't care about them, you're just trying to impress the prayer circle right now, that you're so deep and spiritual. I don't like praying with church folk, they just get on my nerves. I'd rather just pray quiet by myself because I can say, God, here I am. I come before you. I don't know much of anything, but I'm trying to be what you called me to be, and I can sit there and shut my mouth and let God talk. You don't get that in the prayer circle because everybody got to talk. Because they think, as Jesus said, and you think you're heard by your many words. Remember? He said, you think you're heard, but these are the prayers that are heard. You go in your prayer closet and you pray in secret, and God blesses you openly. Your prayers in secret. That's why I don't stand in front of the church as long as you're, some of you have known me over a decade and said, I need you to pray for me. I'm believing for this and that. I don't need this. Half of you, I don't want you in my business because you don't pray wrong. You're going to get all in and say, well, if you're going to do it for him, I sure know you're going to do it for me, God. I say, hey, you done made it about you. So there's people that I just don't pray with. Good church people. I don't pray with because they talk too much. I'm like, what did God say? I ask my wife in the intercessory team all the time, you get together and you intercede. Yeah, does God speak to you? How is it intercession if you ain't hearing nothing from God? We just load, listen, we just rocket shot it. We just going to load up the prayer basket and put it before God. He going to answer something, doggone it. We just going to load his email down with so much stuff that he just going to get tired of us and just answer something. No? You don't know what I'm talking about? That shotgun blast prayer that you just shoot up there in heaven, it's going to catch one angel's wings, doggone it, something going to get hit. You tired of praying like that? Praying and not knowing if you've been heard? Get up from the prayer and don't even know if God heard you? Somebody know what I'm talking about? I like to pray and when I get up, know that I've been heard. Let me say that again. You're getting too quiet. I like to pray and then get up from the prayer knowing that I've been heard. Amen. Pastor, I prayed my heart out. And what did God say? Huh? What the real definition of prayer is communication with God. Well, if only you spoke and God didn't speak back, then that wasn't prayer. That was just you going to God with your supplication. But you didn't pray. Because God speaks when you pray. If you don't know what to do, and you go before God and you get quiet, God tells you what to do. See, come on, you don't want to hear this kind of stuff. I'm telling you the truth. He answers you. He'll answer in due time. No. He answers you. He answers you. He'll give you the guidance and direction in your spirit. And even if it's just be still for a while, I got it. Just go sit down and relax. Go do something. Go take a walk and get your mind off of it. I'm handling it. But you walk away with something. You're not supposed to come out of your prayer closet more confused than you were when you went in. More frustrated than you were when you went in. Do y'all feel like I'm beating on you? Okay, because I'm trying to just help. I'm trying to get you to change this focus, this lie that the enemy has told to us, robbed us again and again. Well, you never know what the Lord's going to do. Where's that in the Bible? The Lord works in mysterious ways. Where's that in the Bible? You got scripture for that? His ways are higher than our ways. Okay, that's just perversion because that scripture is not talking about you can't know the heart of God. That scripture is talking about God does it bigger and better than you. He didn't say you can't know his ways. There's not a scripture in it. Why would he say asking you should receive? Seeking you have not because you ask not. Asking you shall receive, not might. Seeking you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. My sheep know my voice. All these kind of things that God has proven. I want you to hear me. I want you to know me. I want you to understand me. But you men, by your traditions, by your religion, have made the word of God of no effect. You killed it with these cliches. He may not be there when you want him, but he's right on time. What the heck does that even mean? That's just stupid songs that somebody made. Stop singing song lyrics trying to make it scriptural. If he's not there when I want him, then he ain't right on time. That's stupidity. How is he not there when you want him but right on time when he says things like, I will never leave you nor forsake you? So when is the time that he's not there then? If he said, I will never. Where the psalmist said, if I make my bed in hell, you are with me. How has he got to be there on time? He's always with me. And so when I pray, listen to me. I always expect an answer, even if it's not the one I want. I still expect an answer. I ask you to do the same. I ask you to never get down on your face again. Listen to me and pray without, before you pray, expect an answer. Yeah, I know I'm challenging you there. Before I get on my face, I love Jesus going to raise his friend from the dead. Love this. He says, let me go. I know I'm going over, but let me just finish this line. Is that okay?
Yes.
They come to him and tell him he's dying. Lazarus, he's dying. Jesus says, okay, and he hangs out for another 3 days. Then he starts walking there. He didn't jump in his jet. It's a walk. So he waited for 3 days, then he walked there. By the time he gets there, the sister runs to him crying. If you had been here, my brother would have lived. You know the story, right? I always get amazed by that. Jesus wept. He knew what he came to do. I wonder if he wept because just the unbelief. I don't know. It doesn't say why. It just says Jesus wept, and that's the verse. Shortest verse in the Bible. He walks up to the tomb. How many of you know the story? He said, push the stone away. They said, he's been in there over 3 days. He stinks. So when Jesus found out that he was dead, it may have been 3 days from when they told him he's dying, and he waited 3 days. And then by the time he got there, so this could have been a week later. We don't know. But he had been dead for 3 days when Jesus got there. Got it? Jesus comes to the stone after weeping because she cried on Jesus. She had faith to believe that while he was alive, he could make them better. But she didn't think Jesus' power went beyond a certain limit. Jesus can do these things in my life, but there's certain things that he has limits. Mm-hmm. Stop reevaluating your limits right now as I'm finishing up this message. He walks up to the tomb, and they said, he's been in there 3 days. By now, he stinks. He's decomposed. Jesus said, do it anyway. Now, I'm going to teach you a little something real quick, okay, about Jewish law and custom. If Jesus had come the day he died, they could have excused it. Because according to their law, your soul or your spirit was still alive in your body until 3 days. So if you resurrected within 2 days, or if he had come in those 2 days, they would say, he really wasn't dead anyway. His spirit was with him. So it had to be 3 days for it to be official that they had no argument. So a lot of people don't understand or know these things, but your pastor studies stuff. Correct. So they wanted to, I don't know if that was his logic, but he obviously made it to the point that there's no way they now believed that there was any chance that this man could still be alive. Roll it away. Here's the point of the point. Ready? They roll the stone away. Jesus makes a statement. How many of you know it? What does he say? Say it loud. Lazarus, come forth. But he says something before that. What does he say before he says that? You're right. You got it. You're right. Nope. He looked up and he said, Father, I thank you that thou hast heard me. Lazarus, come forth. Hold up. So me, being the investigative reporter that I am, I said, when did he hear you? Is it not recorded, some prayer that you prayed, that when you got there, you said, I thank you that you've heard me? Okay. So I start looking to see and going to commentaries and stuff. And it hit me. When he said, ready? After 3 days of hanging out and doing his ministry, and nobody told him, Lazarus is asleep. I shall now go and awake him. When he got there, he knew what he said. He knew he was dead because the disciples said, well, if he sleep, it's good, he rest. And Jesus told them plainly because they were too ignorant, he is dead. Now, he said to his disciples, he didn't, oh, God, I'm going to go raise him. Please give me strength. He said, no, he's asleep. I'm going to wake him up. What do you mean? He said, well, if he's sleeping, it's good for him. He's dead, dummy. I just said it so you don't get nothing, but nonetheless, let's go. And when he gets there, he walks up and he just says, Father, I think that you heard me when I said he's just sleeping and I'm going to wake him up. And so, come forth. And bam, it goes down. Now, is a God that powerful? Not able to awaken every sleeping vision that's been comatose in your life for decades with a single sentence. Can he do it? Won't he do it? Let me say this to you. Commit it to him, and he will do it. If you tried it 50 times and it failed, perfect. Stop trying it. Now commit it. Stop trying it. Now commit it. That's where I'm in my life. I've tried and tried and tried for decades. Now I've committed it. I'm doing what I'm told to do, and that's the hardest thing in the world because I know some things. I figured some things out. I do know some things that I think should work because, you know, I did kind of get this deal when I did this, and it's like, just give it to him and leave it alone. Do what he tells me to do. No more, no less. So I can see things in the realm of the spirit coming together, even though my natural situation doesn't look like much is changing. But I can have a much better peace now than I ever had before. And watching God in the realm of the spirit do the thing that only he can do. In Jesus' name, amen.